hearty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
We're now 20 days away until the kickoff of football's World Cup in Brazil. The USA's German coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, has finalized his 23-man World Cup roster. Klinsmann's surprise omission is Landon Donovan, the U.S. national team's all-time leading scorer. The 32-year-old Donovan, who plays for the Los Angeles Galaxy in Major League Soccer, was hoping to play in a fourth World Cup. In addition to his 57 goals in 156 international matches, Donovan is the career leader for the USA in World Cup match appearances with 12 and World Cup goals with 5. Speaking at the U.S. team's training camp at Stanford University in Northern California, Klinsmann said it was a very difficult decision to leave out Donovan.
Well, this is certainly one of the toughest decisions in my coaching career, to tell a player like him, with everything he's done and what he represents, to tell him that you're not part of those 23 right now, because I just see some other players slightly ahead of him. You know, he's been in that final 30 roster in terms of, you know, now the last 10 days, you know, and he did everything right. He was always positive. He took it the best way possible. So his disappointment is huge. I totally understand that. He took it very professional because he's an outstanding professional player, and he knows that I have the highest respect for him. But I have to make the decisions as of today. I have to make the decisions what is good today for this group going into Brazil. And there, I just think that, you know, the other guys right now are a little bit ahead of him. And I told him that, and he understands it, but obviously he's very disappointed.
The USA's World Cup coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, passed over Landon Donovan in favor of players such as Chris Wondolowski of the San Jose Earthquakes, Major League Soccer's most prolific scorer for several years, Brad Davis, a veteran left wing for the Houston Dynamo of MLS, and 18-year-old Julian Green, a midfielder and striker for Bayern Munich's reserve squad. All three will be playing in their first World Cup. Before traveling to Brazil, the USA will play friendly warm-up matches against Azerbaijan next Tuesday in San Francisco, California, against Turkey on June 1st in Harrison, New Jersey, and against African champion Nigeria on June 7th in Jacksonville, Florida. The Americans will play their first World Cup match June 16th when they go against Ghana in Natal, Brazil. The Black Stars of Ghana have eliminated the USA from the past two World Cups, beating the Americans 2-1 during the first round group stage at Germany 2006, and by that same 2-1 scoreline in extra time during the knockout round of 16 at South Africa 2010. Ghana's head coach is James Kwesi Appiah. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, caught up with Coach Appiah as the Ghanaian team gets ready to pack its bags for Brazil.
Here's are the first Ghanaian coach, indigenous coach, to qualify the Black Stars to the World Cup. How do you feel?
Actually, in the first place, when I was given the job as first Ghanaian to handle the national team, I saw it as a big challenge, but very grateful that all Ghanaians, you know, have always been behind me, supporting me and praying for me all along. And this qualification, I think I owe it to them, all Ghanaians. I'm really excited being a Ghanaian, has been able to qualify the nation to the World Cup.
Coach, in football, two major factors are needed to move forward, motivation and determination. Are you getting enough support to achieve this?
I think the players has played a major role. They've all been really, really committed. And the technical team has also done so well. The president of the country, the ministry, and then the FA, they've all played a big role in our qualification. And I think we really need to thank all our major players in our qualification.
Coach, let's move straight to Brazil. I mean, you are in a group, people say the group of death. Germany, Portugal, USA, and the Black Stars. I group them as the three J's, because we have Joachim Löw, whose name starts with Joachim, and you, James, and then Jürgen. He's also from the United States, Jürgen Klinsmann. And you are not rivals, but I mean, everybody is determined to move forward. And it's a very tough group. Ghana and USA are becoming serious rivals because they're beating them all the time. And Germany beat you during the South Africa 2010. But this time it's going to be a different ball game all around. So how is the preparation to meet these three teams?
So far, preparations have been really good. Since we qualified, we started our preparation, because the major problems that you normally face during such competitions is how you prepare off the pitch. You know, when I say off the pitch, things that you do without the players. And I think that's where the ministry and the FA, they played a big role. They've, since day one, you know, been putting things in place, making sure that, you know, by the time the players get there, we don't have any complaints. And talking about players too, we've been keeping an eye monitoring each and every Ghanaian player. That actually helped me in choosing the 26th man for the competition.
You know, the Germans are having an attacking philosophy in their games. Do you have a special or secret tactics you are going to meet the Germans for that game?
You know, it depends on any team that you're playing. You plan a tactics that can, you know, face them. Saying that, you know, Germany, Portugal, USA, they are all really strong football countries, and it's important that you prepare very well and make sure that when you get on the pitch, you know what you're doing. And we put in everything in place, making sure that when we get there tactically, you adopt a tactics that can actually face whoever we meet during the whole competition.
So far, have you experienced some injuries when you started the serious training from Monday?
No, just the first day, Warriors had a clash with Fatao. I thought it was something serious, but the next day he came and trained, you know, had a full training. And then this is the third day he's trained and without any problems. So thank God we've had no problems at the moment.
Ghanaians are all behind you. In 2006, they managed to sail through to the 1/16 stage. In South Africa, you were assistant. You managed to go through to the one quarter stage. What are you expecting in Brazil?
It's not going to be easy, because all the countries that have qualified are really, really good, you know, and no one can just wake up and say, oh, I'm just going to win. We'll take a game as it comes, but I believe that we've got very good quality players who can rise to the occasion. And, you know, talking to them, they all have big ambitions during this World Cup. Some of them feel that this is the time to make a name. Some of them feel this is a time to leave a legacy, and I have full confidence in them. I believe that we'll go far. This tournament, I've always kept saying that there will be a lot of surprises, and the big teams that everybody thinks, though, this team will win easily. It's not like olden days when, you know, when you mention few countries and, oh, okay, these are the four who will go to the... Now, football has come of age, and all countries are doing really well, and I believe Ghana is doing well, and we go out there and do our best, make sure that we make a name there.
Coach, you can say you are ready to match every team boot by boot. You don't care about any team. You are ready to face any team with a crop of players you have.
No, I mean, the thing is, if you've qualified to the World Cup and you tell me you're afraid of the big countries, why are you going there for them? Are you telling me that you're going there and, oh, I'm just going to play the first round and come back home? No. Every country that has qualified, I believe, if you ask them this question, you tell them, I'm going there to make an impact. And if you are afraid, then it's better you say, okay, we've qualified, but we're not going. You know. So once we are prepared to go, then whoever comes our way, we're prepared to face it.
Do you have something to talk about the fellow African teams who are coming to Brazil?
I'm 100% sure they're all doing so well. And I believe that, you know, many of the African countries will go far in this tournament.
That's James Kwesi Appiah, the head coach of the World Cup-bound Black Stars of Ghana. And Coach Appiah was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra. One of the Ghanaians who watched the Black Stars train this week in Accra is Prince Anang, a local sports journalist. Prince says the Black Stars have matured since the last World Cup in South Africa 4 years ago.
The team has grown from what we saw in 2010. I mean, 4 years on, we've got a couple of new faces in the team now that is blending and gelling with the old players. Again, the expectations of especially Ghanaians will be that the Black Stars should go beyond the quarterfinal stage that they got to in 2010.
As I mentioned earlier, the Black Stars of Ghana will go against the United States in their opening World Cup match, June 16th in Natal, Brazil. From Natal, the Black Stars will then make a short trip northwest along the coast of Brazil to Fortaleza, where they'll play Germany on June 21st. And then Ghana will go south to Brasilia in central Brazil for their last first-round group match on June 26th, against Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal. Ronaldo is on home soil this weekend in Lisbon, where the UEFA Champions League final will be played on Saturday. Ronaldo's Real Madrid side takes on city rival Atletico Madrid. It marks the first time in the 59-year history of Europe's premier club tournament the final features teams from the same city. And while the football fans in Madrid are surely licking their chops over Saturday's big match, our friend in Johannesburg, David Legg, says the game is of tremendous interest to fans all across Africa.
Yes, Sonny, and you know, the interest in this match is staggering. Today, maybe 15, 20 people have asked me who is going to win the final. It may be a private affair as far as people in Madrid are concerned. It's their own two clubs, Atletico and Real. But here in South Africa, amazing interest in this match. It's a classic showdown because on the one hand, you've got all the stars of Real Madrid, led, of course, by the one and only Cristiano Ronaldo. And yet, if you ask most people in South Africa to name, say, three players in the Atletico side, I don't think they're going to manage even two. Maybe some will get Costa. He seems to be becoming quite well known. In other words, it's the work ethic of Atletico Madrid against the individual stars of Real Madrid. Fascinating showdown. My hunch, Sonny, if Real play to their full potential, I believe they will win. I believe they have the better 11 footballers. But if they don't play to their full potential, then Atletico could snatch this trophy. They'll be relaxed. They've already now taken the La Liga title. I think the pressure is more on Real Madrid, because Real Madrid missed out for La Liga. And another thing about the Real Madrid team, they can be suspect in defense at times. I know Sergio Ramos has been scoring a lot of goals recently, two against Bayern Munich in the second leg in Germany, but he can be suspect at the back. It's too close to call, Sonny. If Real Madrid play to their full ability, they will definitely win the final. But any slip-ups by Real Madrid, particularly at the back, and Atletico could snatch it.
David, the venue, Lisbon, neutral venue for these two Madrid clubs. What about support?
I think it'll be pretty equal, Sonny. They do allocate an equal number of tickets to both clubs. The only pity is the Stadium of Light, Estádio da Luz, as they call it in Portugal. It holds about 60,000. Sonny, no exaggeration. If that stadium was three times that size, yes, I mean 180,000 seats, they would have sold every one of them. I think this match has just captured the imagination. I'm talking about South Africa specifically. I'm sure it's the imagination of the whole world. There's actually an argument, Sonny, among many football fans over which is actually the biggest competition. Is it the World Cup or is it the Champions League? Now, because club players are playing regularly, from most of them, they're playing now twice a week. It used to be the exception. It's now the norm. I think you find greater teamwork because national teams, of course, they only come together occasionally for a couple of matches. And some of the football in the Champions League, it's just, it just hits you for six. I mean, it is so good. Sunny Yar. Those tickets are like gold dust for the match on Saturday. And, of course, Portugal is a great football-loving country. And the nice thing for Spain is if it's financially difficult to fly, of course, they have the option of driving because, of course, they're neighboring countries in the Iberian Peninsula. So, I think we must look forward to a classic. So often these finals, Sonny, they tend to be disappointing. They've got this amazing build-up, all the media hype, and then it becomes very negative. And what would be great in the final is actually if Real were to score an early goal, because if there is a team that will tend to be more cautious, it will be Atletico. And if they fall behind, they have no option then to come out. And we could then really have, you know, the El Clásico is always referred to as the match between Real and Barcelona. Well, we could have a Madrid El Clásico this time.
David, you mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo playing on home soil in Lisbon. Players like Ronaldo, who are also getting ready for the World Cup, competing at the end of a very long European season. Can this help or hurt Ronaldo and other stars, David, the fact that they're playing so late into the European season as we look towards Brazil?
That's a really good point you've raised, Sonny. And that is Sir Alex Ferguson, no less, the former manager, highly successful one of Manchester United. He has raised this point many times, that that is a big factor that contributes against too many classical matches at World Cups. It's very logical, the point you've raised. It's the end of a long season, Sonny. And in a way, this could count very much against Spain at the World Cup because you've had this very tough La Liga. So the stars could not be rested. They had to play right till the end. Now you've got this Champions League final. And after that, I'm sure all Ronaldo and all the Spanish stars as well, they're probably just dreaming of relaxing at the beach and taking a break. But there's no chance of that because straight away, Sonny, I'm sure they'll have a few days off. Then you've got to look at the preparations for the World Cup, which is creeping up fast, remembering that it starts on June the 12th. And that is definitely a factor against the World Cup because players simply don't have enough time to rest and relax before they get into this grind. And then some of the venues in Brazil, you're going to have extreme heat. And that's another factor that's going to count against maybe seeing great football.
David, let's turn now to the CAF Confederation Cup competition, the second-tier tournament in Africa. And how about the results?
Yes, I mean, in Group A, Real Bamako of Mali won, ASEC Mimosas of Ivory Coast won. Now, the match between AC Leopards of Congo and Cotton Spore of Cameroon, that was postponed because Congo were, of course, playing in the Africa Cup of Nations in Namibia. So the log position there, fairly straightforward. ASEC and Real Bamako have got 1 point each, and Cotton and Leopards have still got to get off that 0 point mark because they have yet to play. In Group B, we had Sewe San Pedro of Ivory Coast 1, Etoile Sahel of Tunisia 1, and the game that I think had a lot of interest around the continent, Al Ahly of Egypt 2, Nkana of Zambia 0. So Ahly straight away jumping to the top of the table. They've got 3 points. Etoile and Sewe have got 1 point each. And Nkana are at the bottom. No points after their initial game.
And David, how about the highlights in the Confed Cup?
Well, all eyes, Sonny, were on Al Ahly. They, of course, had been demoted from the Champions League after those shock home and away defeats by Al Ahly Benghazi of Libya. And their aerial power proved the undoing of Nkana in Cairo, sadly at a stadium once again empty because of the volatile security situation in that country. So no fans allowed, match played behind closed doors. And basically, it was won and lost early in the second half. Gamal headed in after 46 minutes. And then after 56 minutes, a superb, unstoppable header from Gedo off a corner from Fati made it 2-0. And for the Zambians, there really was no way back. There will be a slight degree of happiness among the Nkana players, however, Sonny, in that on a previous visit to Cairo, they were humiliated 5-0 by Zamalek. Now, the players and the coaches vowed that that debacle would not happen again. And if there is such a thing as a satisfactory defeat, this might be it for Nkana in the sense that they were not pulverized by Al Ahly. In the other match in the group, Etoile Sahel got a late equalizer after the Ivorians' Siwe San Pedro scored first. And that more or less confirms, Sonny, those two results, my feelings about Group B. I believe it's going to be between Ahly and Etoile. And in the second round fixtures coming up this coming weekend, Nkana are at home to Siwe in Kitwe in Zambia. And then on Sunday, we have the big one at Sousse. That's a Mediterranean resort on the east coast of Tunisia. We have Etoile Sahel against Ahly. Now, they've had many great scraps in the past, including a couple of Champions League finals. So no guessing where a lot of the interest of African football supporters will be this weekend. That match on Sunday evening in Sousse. Group A, Sonny, got off to a rather tame start. ASEC took the lead against Real Bamako in Mali midway through the second half, but then Kone equalized from a last-minute penalty. But I think some of the fun was spoilt in the sense that Leopards and Cottonspor didn't play. And if there's one thing I don't really like, it's when you have a log table when some clubs have played a certain number of matches and other clubs have played less. And so we have this sort of distorted picture at the moment with ASEC and Real on top, but Cottonspor and Leopards yet to get out of the blocks. That will happen this coming weekend. Cottonspor hosts Real Bamako on Saturday. And then on Sunday, to me, the interesting one, ASEC against Leopards. Now, Leopards, of course, are the Congolese side that 2 years ago stunned Africa by winning the CAF Confederations Cup. A very combative side. And I'll be interesting to see how they do in Ivory Coast against an ASEC side that are looking stronger now. They were a really powerful African force about a decade ago, but some pretty disappointing results in more recent years. But they seem to be back on the right track.
Finally, David, with the month-long World Cup kicking off June 12th in Brazil, what about the rest of the soccer calendar? Will there be matches in Africa during the World Cup?
No, Sonny, they're getting quite close because this coming weekend you've got Champions League and you've got Confederations Cup matches. The following weekend, that's the end of May and the 1st of June, you're going to have return matches in the Cup of Nations with the 14 winners going through to the final round after the World Cup. But then on June 6, 7 and 8, you have yet another round of Champions League and Confederations Cup. Now, the reason for this, Sonny, is later in the year, a lot of the dates are going to be taken up by the group matches in the Africa Cup of Nations. So if a lot of our listeners are saying right now, as they listen to the show, but hold on a minute, it's just May and already they're into the group stage. Isn't this a bit early, a bit premature? Normally it starts July. Those listeners are quite right, Sonny. That is the normal situation with the Champions League and the Confederations Cup. But it looks more and more, and we've mentioned this on your show previously, that Africa is falling into that dates trap, so to speak, that already exists in places like Europe, where there's just so many matches to be played and there are only so many weeks in the year. But come June the 8th, Sonny, it all comes to a grinding halt. The World Cup is special. Even non-football-playing countries, places where football is definitely not the number one sport. Let me pick out, for example, Sri Lanka, where cricket is the national sport. They will watch every match in that World Cup avidly. And come every World Cup, I remember, Sonny, that there are always stories about power cuts, power outages in countries all over the world, countries where you wouldn't really think that there would be World Cup fever. But when those power outages occur during a World Cup match, all hell breaks loose. And what you often find is the government say, if we've got to have power cuts, gentlemen and ladies, make sure they are not during the World Cup matches. It is, of course, Sonny, going to be a challenge. You guys over there in the United States, you're going to have a wonderful World Cup because it's prime time as far as the kickoffs for the World Cup. But sadly, for us here in South Africa, in the middle of freezing June and July, when the weather is absolutely fine up till about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then suddenly it's as if we were in Siberia, matches will be kicking off as late as after midnight. those of us fanatics, of course, we want to watch every single one of those games. So, yeah, keeping warm is going to be a challenge. But, you know, Sonny, your point is a very good one. Do they continue to play football? And the answer is a very firm no. It doesn't matter whether it's Africa, Asia, Europe, South America, North America. The World Cup is king. And I think it's only right. I mean, this is the showpiece. Every 4 years, this is when football puts on its greatest show. And I'm sure commercialism is a big factor in football nowadays. And the sponsors would obviously insist that there are no counter attractions between the middle of June and the middle of July, Sonny. If you're not interested in football, take a trip to Mars.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, I'm Shegwa Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world. Just come out and play with
this
me.
This is for the globe.
Just come out and play with
this
me.
This is for the world.
Just come out and play with
this
me.
This is for the globe.
Hey.
This is for the world.
Just come out and play with
this
me.
This is for the globe.
Just come out and play with
this
me.
This is for the world.
Just come out and play with
this
me.
This is for the globe.
We got the game on.
Game on, sports fans. More now on Saturday's All Madrid UEFA Champions League final. While this is the first time the big game has featured clubs from the same city, it's the second all-Spanish final after the 2000 final between Valencia and Real Madrid. Real won the trophy that year and then won it again in 2002 for its record 9th European title. Real reached Saturday's final in Lisbon by beating defending champion Bayern Munich 5-0 on aggregate. Atletico Madrid, meanwhile, reached its second European Cup final 40 years after its first, after defeating 2012 champions Chelsea of England 3-1 on aggregate. As David Legg mentioned, this All Madrid matchup will be shining brightly at the Estadio de Luz, or Stadium of Light, in Lisbon. Well, the National Basketball Association playoffs resume Saturday night in Miami, Florida. That's where the two-time defending champion Miami Heat hosts the Indiana Pacers in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The best-of-seven series is tied at one game each. Miami defeated Indiana 87-83 in Game 2 in Indianapolis. Miami star LeBron James really turned on the Jets in the fourth quarter of Game 2. LeBron scored 12 of his 22 points to help spark a Heat rally in that comeback victory. Also in that game, Pacers star Paul George suffered a concussion, and he's been taking medical tests and being monitored ahead of Game 3. So we hope Paul George gets back on the court on Saturday night. The NBA's Western Conference Finals will resume on Sunday night in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. That's where the Oklahoma City Thunder hope to come back in their series against the San Antonio Spurs. So far, the Spurs have dominated. They've scored two lopsided victories in the first two games of the series. Now, should San Antonio and Miami advance, we'll see a rematch of the 2013 NBA Finals, in which the Heat defeated the Spurs 4-3. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Adrius Regis for his technical support.
C'est pour le bien du continent, je te jure, le truc est bizarre, l'amnésie des mecs au pouvoir. Le président t'oublie, pourtant c'est toi qui donne le pouvoir. Le truc est bizarre, l'amnésie des mecs au pouvoir. Le président t'oublie, oublie le président.